Welcome to this podcast from the Medical Journal of Australia. My name is Sam Hunt, the MJA's news and online editor. Today we are discussing chronic cough in children and adults. An updated position statement on chronic cough in Australia has just been published in summary form in the Medical Journal of Australia, covering diagnosis, assessment, and management. My special guest today is Associate Professor Julie Marchant, a paediatric respiratory physician at the Queensland Children's Hospital and a research fellow at the Centre for Children's Health Research in Brisbane. Associate Professor Marchant, thank you so much for joining me today.
Great to be here.
Associate Professor Marchant, a little later in this podcast, we'll hear a recording of a chronic wet cough so our audience knows what it sounds like. But before we dive in, can you please give me a short overview of your background and your professional interest in chronic cough?
Well, I am a respiratory paediatrician, and my interest in chronic cough started with my PhD, which was done under the mentorship of Professor Anne Chang. At the time of this early research, adult cough management pathways were recommended for use in children. And during my PhD, I published a cohort study which proved that less than 10% of children actually had the common adult diagnoses for cough. So that led to the first child-specific algorithm for chronic cough. In addition, we also know that much lung disease has its origins in childhood, and so studies have shown that children who are diagnosed earlier will end up having early intervention and healthier lungs going into adulthood. So since my PhD, I've continued to work as a clinician researcher in the area of chronic cough, and I've been lucky to continue to work with Professor Anne Chang, who is the world expert in the area. Working clinically at the Queensland Children's Hospital, I see the burden chronic cough is for parents and for the families and for the child themselves. And I know how common the presentation is and what a difference it makes to these children and their families if these children are able to stop coughing. So I am also part of the Queensland Children's Hospital Indigenous Respiratory Outreach Team, and we go to rural and remote locations all around Queensland. And through that, I see firsthand how First Nation populations is disproportionately affected with chronic cough. So that's also stemmed my interest in continuing research into chronic cough.
And you and your colleagues have now published the updated position statement for chronic cough in Australia, which covers diagnosis, assessment, and management. What clinical gaps did you see that prompted you to begin work on the position statement?
This work began because the previous position statement was actually published in 2010. So there have been significant changes in evidence and research since 2010. And that's probably highlighted by the fact that through doing this updated position statement, we had reviewed a total of 6,395 articles that have been published on chronic cough in that last 13 years. So it was quite an undertaking to do this update. So this included such key publications as the randomized controlled trials for the use of antibiotics in children with chronic wet cough and long-term follow-up studies of children with chronic wet cough, as well as a randomized controlled trial on management pathways in children for improving cough management. Similarly, in adults, there's a really emerging field of refractory chronic cough and new antitussive therapies and neuromodulators, which is an emerging field. In addition, quite specifically with the support of the Lung Foundation Australia, we wanted to include priority populations in the statement, such as our First Nations people. So we have specific recommendations for treating chronic cough in our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people within the statement.
And let's zoom in on adults with chronic cough. What are the main recommendations here?
A very key change in this document is the use of an algorithmic pathway for the assessment and management of adult chronic cough. This has been something which has been around in paediatric chronic cough for some time, but it is new to this Australian cough statement for adults. So there is a new algorithm which was developed by the adult respiratory physicians who were involved in our Cicada panel who helped develop these guidelines. So whilst the high quality evidence does not yet exist for the use of this algorithms such as randomized controlled trials, the expert panel, which involves physicians, physios, speech therapists, pharmacists, nurses, consumers, all agreed that it was an important recommendation. So that's a really key change in adults. It's really important to remember that adult and pediatric chronic cough is different. So adult chronic cough is a cough for more than 8 weeks of daily cough, whereas pediatric child chronic cough is more than 4 weeks of daily cough. A really important take-home message from the guidelines is that a thorough history taking is really important. And a tip I often impart to others is the question to ask the patient, or in the instance of children, the child, when do you last remember a day that you didn't cough? And that thorough history taking will identify any red flags that can indicate serious underlying disease. And the adult part of the statement is certainly in box six of the summary manuscript in MJA has included updated red flags that you should be looking for when you look at when you treat adults with chronic cough. And they're such things as voice disturbance and significant ongoing sputum production, and of course an abnormal chest x-ray. Brings me to a chest x-ray. The guideline now recommends that all adults with chronic cough who have had 8 weeks of daily cough should have a chest x-ray if one hasn't been done in the recent past. And this is a new recommendation. In addition, adults should have spirometry done. So that's also recommended when they're seen. The summary lists the strengths of the recommendations for any cough. So it's got a lovely table which recommends current treatments for various causes of chronic cough. And it's important to know that when we suggest it's a strong recommendation with respect to clinicians, that means most patients should receive this recommended course of action. And for patients, that strong recommendation means most people in your situation would want this treatment for their chronic cough, and only a small portion would not. So that's what we mean by a strong recommendation. Obviously, not everything is strongly recommended because the evidence is not there. And in that case, it's a weak recommendation, and similarly, the same recommendations exist. An important message for adults with chronic cough is that oftentimes with adults, despite optimal treatment, there is no identifiable cause found. And those adults have refractory chronic cough or unexplained chronic cough. And referral to a respiratory specialist or cough clinic is recommended for those patients if a cause can't be found. So that's another key piece of information for GPs. There are new specific anti-tussive therapies, which I mentioned earlier, which have been found to improve cough symptoms and quality of life in studies in adults, but none of these are yet approved for use in Australia. But this is a really exciting, evolving field that will be sort of come out in the next decade, and probably the next time we update those guidelines, there will be key drugs that we can recommend GPs try in these patients with refractory chronic cough.
And let's turn to children with chronic cough. What are your main recommendations?
So in children, as I said earlier, a chronic cough is more than 4 weeks of daily cough. Again, asking that question, when was the last time you remember your child having a day without cough? That's really important in children, and I know GPs and even us as respiratory pediatricians find it hard to work out whether the children have had recurrent viral illnesses or whether this is an ongoing daily chronic cough. So oftentimes asking that question, targeting when they last had viral infections and when they truly had a day without cough is really important. We use the 4 weeks in children because there are significant serious underlying pathologies that we don't want to miss in children, such as an inhaled foreign body, which small toddlers might not be able to tell you, and you may have missed the incident. And we do find that. We had one only just a week ago where a child came in with 8 months of chronic cough, and when we did a bronchoscopy and looked down in their airway, there was a foreign body there. So, and the parents had no inkling of a choking episode or when that might have occurred. The main recommendations in children include a chest x-ray and spirometry if the children are over about 6 years of age. It's then important, as you said, to follow a child-specific algorithm for investigation and management, which again looks for the red flags for serious underlying causes in the history and examination. So there is now very high quality evidence that using this child-specific algorithm improves outcomes. And these child-specific algorithms are recommended in cough guidelines worldwide. So in the US guidelines, in the European guidelines. Another really important key message and key recommendation for the chronic cough in children is to have a knowledge and know appropriate management of protracted bacterial bronchitis. Protracted bacterial bronchitis is the commonest cause of a chronic wet cough in children. These children appear well. They have a normal chest x-ray. It may have some peribronchial thickening, but otherwise the chest x-ray is normal. And if they can do spirometry, they have normal spirometry. But often these children are preschool age, so they're unable to do spirometry. They do not have signs of crackles or wheeze on their chest examination, but parents often do describe a wheeze historically. when you nut this out, oftentimes the wheeze that the parents are talking about is more specifically a rattle of the secretions in their chest because they have a bronchitis with secretions in their large airways, which can typically be felt rather than heard. The management is included in the guideline, but it includes a longer course of antibiotics. So a medium length course of antibiotics of typically a minimum of 2 weeks of appropriate antibiotics. And this is typically Augmentin Duo for children. So the evidence in the updated guidelines for treatment and management of this condition is ranked as excellent. And the recommendation for treatment with the 2 weeks of antibiotics is recommended as a strong recommendation. Protracted bacterial bronchitis and treatment of chronic wet cough was included in our 2010 guideline, but the evidence is now significantly stronger. And as such, it is now a strong recommendation in the new guidelines. The importance of diagnosis of protracted bacterial bronchitis is that left untreated in children or undiagnosed, a percentage of those children will go on to develop bronchiectasis at follow-up. So we've done follow-up studies which has shown that about 8% of children may go on to develop bronchiectasis at 2 or 5 year follow-up if not treated appropriately. So part of the algorithm of management, which is in our new summary guideline, is that children should be reviewed after treatment with these 2 weeks of antibiotics. And if they have more than 3 episodes of protracted bacterial bronchitis in 12 months, or if the wet cough returns as soon as the antibiotics are stopped, they should then be referred on to respiratory pediatricians for review because the risk of them having bronchiectasis is significantly increased. So this is also one of the reasons why early and effective treatment of chronic wet cough in childhood is so imperative.
And Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander adults and children should be considered high-risk groups. Let's unpack that.
Yes, the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are disproportionately affected with conditions that present with chronic wet cough, such as protracted bacterial bronchitis. I'll call it PBB from now on because that's what we call it. So PBB and bronchiectasis. In fact, the mortality difference between First Nations and non-First Nations Australians with bronchiectasis is about 22 years currently, which is really quite staggering. One of the main issues which is identified in the position statement is the fact that chronic wet cough is so common in First Nations children that it is often considered a normal feature by families and even by local doctors, and certainly by local primary health centres. This is something which we need to change and which will only change with education, and these guidelines will hopefully form part of that. First Nation children who have been symptomatic since childhood also have poorer clinical outcomes as adults compared with those who have onset of symptoms as adults. So earlier intervention is really the key to change that mortality difference of 22 years. The guidelines present some recommendations for looking after this high-risk group, such as providing culturally secure health information and engaging the community at a local level. This probably is easier to write than it is to do, but there has been wonderful recent study by our West Australian colleagues, which has shown that an implementation strategy, which targeted training clinicians locally, can improve health outcomes in this group. One of the other things that has come out of doing this guidelines is that we have a number of resources which are available on the Lung Foundation Australia website. One of them is a training module for GPs, which is for treating First Nations children who present with chronic cough. That module is an accredited training module of the RACGP, and it is certainly a module that teaches the principles and practices that can be used to treat First Nations children with cough. So I'd highly recommend that module be done. Importantly, in our First Nations children and adults, chronic wet cough should not be ignored and should be treated with the appropriate antibiotics and referred on when the cough doesn't stop, or if the cough returns as soon as the antibiotics have ceased, then they should also be referred on.
My special guest today is Associate Professor Julie Marchant, a paediatric respiratory physician. Your next steps, I imagine, are raising awareness and getting the word out. And how long does it take for updated position statements like this to flow through to the clinical community?
Thank you. Well, I think inviting me to do this podcast and getting the message out that way is certainly one way in which we can get the message out. And there were 35 experts from around Australia who took part in developing these guidelines. As I said, they were physicians, adult and pediatric respiratory physicians. There were GPs, there were physios, there were academics, there were First Nations members, there were consumers, so patients with chronic cough. We've really tried to develop a guideline which is very user-friendly for general practice, and we hope that it is used. So, for instance, protracted bacterial bronchitis was first described in 2006. It began to be globally recognised in 2008, but it has only recently been given its own ICD-10 AM code. So it's now recognised as a disease, and that occurred in 2022. So it does take a long time for this evidence to get out there. And I suspect there are GPs listening who still haven't heard of protracted bacterial bronchitis. So yes, it will take time to disseminate these guidelines. One positive is that they have the endorsement and the support of the Lung Foundation Australia and also of the Thoracic Society of Australia and New Zealand. So they'll also be promoting the guidelines. I also think having the guidelines published in a general readership journal such as the MJA will really help to disseminate these guidelines. In addition, as I mentioned earlier, we have developed some really lovely resources for both consumers and general practitioners, which are freely available on the Lung Foundation website. There is an example and audio of a wet cough, because sometimes when you're talking to parents and patients, they don't know what a wet cough sounds like. And if the child won't cough for you, then you're not able to get that key diagnostic clue. So if you can play that audio to parents, then it really is quite a helpful tool to GPs.
Yes, and here is the recording of a chronic wet cough. That's a recording of a chronic wet cough, and you can download that on the Lung Foundation of Australia website. Back to you, Julie.
In addition, as I mentioned, it's got the training modules for treating Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children with chronic wet cough. It also has some patient resources. So there are resources that for adult chronic cough and for patient chronic cough, which we've put there so that if patients are not able to adequately explain things to their GP, they can take that resource in and say, I think this might be me. So those resources are there as well. So maybe there's something that GPs can have in their waiting rooms and such things. So we've done as much as we can to try and help dissemination of these new guidelines. Generally, knowledge translation is thought to take about 17 years to get into practice. But the fact that we already have a guideline, and this is an updated guideline, we're hoping that people are ready for it and are looking for it to come out.
Associate Professor Marchin, thank you so much for joining me today.
No problems. Thank you for having me.
My special guest has been Associate Professor Julie Marchant, a paediatric respiratory physician at the Queensland Children's Hospital and a research fellow at the Centre for Children's Health Research in Brisbane. You can find the updated position statement on chronic cough in summary form in the Medical Journal of Australia by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. And you can find more of our podcasts online at mja.com.au or, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you so much for listening.